In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, happy Lateri Sunday, folks. A day when the church sets aside the mournfulness of Lent. We're called to relax the rigors this Sunday, to rejoice, and we can lay down our strict observances, allowing for the elements of this rejoicing. What a better way to celebrate than rejoicing in the spiritual journey from darkness into light. Jesus, the light of the world, made his light manifest in the miracle of sight offered to the blind man in today's lesson. A miracle performed on the Sabbath that was construed as sin, perceived as darkness, perhaps as Satan himself, by those who were unable to recognize him as the one God has chosen. Jesus explains that this man's afflictions are not due to his sin, but the suffering rather becomes an opportunity of showing what God can do in a person. For John, miracles are always a sign of God's power to work in the life of a person, and God works through the touch of Jesus to this man. Disappointment and loss are always opportunities for displaying God's grace. The people around this blind man saw an absolute scandal. Yet, in the midst of need, of blindness, of loss, Jesus can see the suffering in this child of God, and he restores his identity into the fullness of God's creation. In this story, Jesus uses spittle and clay from the earth to smear the blind man's eyes. And this seems really strange and unhygienic, and perhaps even repulsive by today's standards. Yet, in ancient times, especially the spittle of a distinguished person was thought to possess curative qualities. As well, in the customs of that day, it was thought to avert an evil eye. Now, Jesus, in his wisdom of that day, might not have fully believed that, but he knew that was in the tradition, and he used it as a form of trust to get this man to draw close to him. So having been cured, this blind man had difficulty persuading people, which we heard, that he had been cured. Many did not believe, but he stoutly maintained the miracle that Jesus had performed. In John 10, there's a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said of Jesus, "He has an evil spirit and he's mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of a man possessed by an evil spirit. Can a man with an evil spirit open the eyes of the blind?" Well, the people who listened to Jesus on this occasion were confronted with a dilemma. A dilemma that also confronts us. Either Jesus was a megalomaniac madman, or he was the Son of God. The claims that Jesus made to be the Son of God were either insanity or divinity. And there's three points to indicate the latter of these. Jesus is the one voice who speaks of God's sense in the midst of human delusion. The deeds of Jesus demonstrate a life committed to doing things for others, for seeking benefit for others, not for himself. And the effect that Jesus has is conversion, from weak to strong, from selfish to selfless, from defeated to victorious, from worried to serene, from bad to good. We could go on and on. We witness in this story a man brought into the fold based on the miracle of sight. And spiritual blindness is yet another type of blindness and is described and not confined into these very passages that we read this morning. In the Old Testament, God was pictured as the shepherd and the people his flock. And now we look at Psalm 23, a favorite of so many people this morning and in the Christian faith. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," could be the very words that the blind man would have used as a thank taking note to God, one of the top 40 hits of the Psalms, in expressing his thanksgiving. It's the thank you note, the acknowledgement of compassion and mercy that was received. So the blind man begins by not knowing Jesus, and then he calls him a prophet, and then a man of God, and finally worships Jesus as Lord, becoming his disciple. This is very similar to the recognition event we saw last week with the Samaritan woman. It becomes a story on a deeper level, reflecting on what blindness and sight can really mean. And the picture of this can pass right over now into the New Testament and the very presence of Jesus himself as the Good Shepherd, the one who risks his very own life to seek, to heal the forgotten ones. And his disciples are his little flock. And he is the shepherd of human souls. His subversive acts now, which aggravate the regional power structures, will lead very shortly to his crucifixion. Again, we fast forward into the 10th chapter of John, which is not included in our reading, but what it reveals is a deeper level of this story. And it shows Jesus as the keeper of the door, the keeper of the sheep, the one who constantly keeps watch and never leaves the fold. And he applies the story of the Good Shepherd to his very own self. The Psalm 23, the best known psalm and the favorite biblical passage of many, why is that? It's because it does tell us more than that God protects and guides and blesses. But it shows us also the poetic image of a powerless sheep being tended to by an unflailingly careful shepherd in a world of dangerous ditches and ravenous wolves. So we need more than abstract explanations. We need an image to hold on to. And this picture of Jesus as the shepherd is one of the best that we've got. In our Circle of Compassion group that meets weekly, a reflection asks us how we notice how often Jesus uses his hands to make contact with people in the easement of their suffering. He's looking for encounter. He chooses to come up close and personal when he meets them. And this is an indication that he wants to be near to them and unified with them. St. Teresa of Avila is also quoted as saying, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands now, no feet but yours." This 16th century mystic invites us to be Christ to one another, to carry on the life-giving gestures of Jesus. Unlike the man in the gospel, our path is not straightforward. We move forward, we move backward. Sometimes we close our eyes to the light, like the man's accusers, and other times we see very clearly. For my friends, each one of us is on a unique journey of faith that's already known to God before we were even born. And the thing to remember is that we already become light in the Lord, according to Ephesians, and we can trust and live in that light if we choose. Each day, each moment is an opportunity to begin again, trusting that God is guiding us, even as the path may seem dark and uncertain. And finally, I close with a prayer from Joyce Rupp's Jesus Companion in My Suffering. Accessible companion, you reach out your hand to touch our hearts. When we are troubled or feeling out of sorts, we only need to reach back and receive from you the attentive care and encouragement you offer. With our hands and hearts, may we do the same for others. Amen.